the pastor, thank you very much, preacher. And I feel like a little bitty guy back up here behind the pulpit. The pastor wanted to know that I wanted his iPad tonight to preach in. I said, I got my iPad. It's right here. I got my eyes laying on my pad. Amen. I'm ready to preach. I don't need anything else but this. And I appreciate your preacher. And I enjoy joking with him and talking with him. And I just love it very much. He preached this morning about a great woman. A great woman is very important. A tremendous sermon he preached there. And then he says something about the great woman that he's got. At least Brother Helmick did. A pastor cannot pastor as long as he's pastor without having a great woman by his side. And I agree with that very much. I had a great woman for many, many years. And she died and went to heaven. And God gave me Kathy after that. Just kidding. Just kidding. I'm trying, Brent. I'm trying to find that spot.
I'm going to find it, too. I ain't going to preach. I'll find that sweet spot. I love my wife. She loves me. We're going to find out how much I have to preach it. But thank God for a wife, stepmother, and husband. Well, the New Hampshire farmer had a horse. Anybody got a horse in it? You lie. You got a horse? And he said,
some people all the same, amen? Gary, amen? Yeah, no matter where you go. Did y'all hear those jokes? I need to tell them again. You heard those? Okay. Well, we all don't like to go to doctors, and I had to, you know what, doctor at my place made a church call. Prominent doctor in the area, the most prominent doctor in the area. He came to church to check me out. He came to get some blood last week. Wasn't sure. I've been having some problems lately. I wasn't sure. We thought it might be AIDS, but I'm not sure. But he's going to check. He checked me, sent the tube off, and said, no, it's not that. He said, I think you're going to be all right. But he came and checked me out. And we don't like doctors. Kevin went to the doctor. Went in with the receptionist. Receptionist says, Kevin, what you got? Kevin said, I got shingles. She said, okay. Took down his name, phone number, address, all that kind of stuff, medical card. And she said, go to that room over there. He went to that room over there, and a nurse's aide came in. Nurse's aide said, hi, Mr. Kevin. She said, what you got? He said, shingles. She said, okay, sit down there. She takes his weight, his height, and all that kind of stuff, and she says, go to that room over there. Went over there and stayed 15 minutes, and the nurse came in. Nurse said, Kevin, what you got? He said, I got shingles. She said, okay. So she takes his blood pressure. She takes all this stuff, electrocardiogram and all this kind of stuff, checking him out. And she says, now you got to take your clothes off and just go to that room over there and wait. Well, he went over there and he waited for about an hour. And the doctor comes in. He says, hi, Kevin. He says, Kevin, he says, what you got? Kevin says, I got shingles. He said, where? He said, out back on the truck. Where you want me to load them? Open your Bibles, please. I guess you did good enough on laughter. I can go on and preach now. Alrighty, praise the Lord. I'm just old country preacher. Amen. I don't preach some iPads or iPhones or cell phones or nothing else. Amen. Old black book worked for me. Old King James Bible. I'm not going to change now. I've been preaching too long. Go to Psalms chapter 84. Thank you again, Brother and Mrs. Dipshill, for the wimpy meal you gave me. I enjoyed it very much. Psalms chapter number 84. Let's begin verse number 1. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. I'm sorry, shall we stand? Your pastor's always stands. Forgive me. We don't stand at church. No problem with it, but I just forget to ask you to. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. And here's our text. Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. I read a few months ago where the word Baca there means tear shrubs. It's a shrub they call tear shrubs over there where they grow. And so that's the main verse, is verse 6. Leave your Bibles open there, but go to one verse in Deuteronomy, please. Chapter number 8. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. And let's go to verse number 7 there. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 7. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and depths that spring out. Watch where they come from. That spring out of valleys and hills. Now, Father, you gave me this sermon a few weeks ago, and I don't know what you're going to do with it. The song, certainly, that Anna sang would go along with it. And the people have been so kind to me and my wife, the ones that many have come up to her and talked to her very graciously, thanked her for speaking last night. The church here has always been a fun church to be at, a very friendly church. They're doing great things here for you, great things to become, I believe, of this church. But I pray that tonight, now I'm a different kind of preacher, Lord, like all preachers are. They're used to their pastor. I think it's a tremendous pastor, tremendous preacher. Preaches a great, preaches wonderfully well. And Father, tonight I just pray that you will take what you've given me and help us in our lives to some degree for the cause of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In David Green's book, the founder of Hobby Lobby, he says this: every great businessman that he has ever known, it was in the dark, troublesome, problematic times of their life that they rose to greater heights because of what they went through during those times. He said, David Green, the founder of Hobby Lobby, he said they went from good to better and learned more about doing greater in their business through those episodes in their life. He made this statement, Brother Corey. I was reading his book just a few weeks ago, maybe 2 months ago. Somebody gave it to me to read. And this is a statement that he made, and this is a sermon title of the sermon. He said this, he said, they learn to mine the valleys, M-I-N-E. They learned to mine the valleys. I got to thinking about that when I saw that. I said, wow, that's a strong phrase. They learn to mine the valleys. They learn to take their axe, pick, and shovel, and lantern, and go in those times they were involved in, which were not good times in the valley of their life. And they went into that dark cave, that dark mine, and they found the precious jewels. They found the diamonds. They found the precious stones that was hidden back in the dark of the mind. And I got to thinking, isn't that just like the Christian life? So I want to talk to you tonight for a while about mining the valleys. Webster, in his dictionary, says this. A mine, this is what he says a mine is a rich source of wealth or other good. Also, he said this, is also a pit or a excavation in the earth from which rare finds are taken by digging. Let me read it to you again. He said, Webster said, a mine is a rich source of wealth or other good. It's a pit or an excavation in the earth from which rare finds are taken by digging. I want to talk to us about those valley times in life tonight that we all go through and see how we must mine those valleys and dig those valleys for all that we can get out of them. Not just see the surface, the bad in the valley, but the hid that God wants us to see. I don't just want to make it out of the valley, but I want to get something out of the valley that will cause me to be a better, stronger, productive, holier, godlier child of God. That's what I want to find in the valley. I just don't want to be in there walking around twiddling my thumbs. I want to go in the valley that I have to go in, and we've all been in those valleys or going through them or we'll go through them. I want to find what God wants me to excavate, what God wants me to dig. I want to find what He has for me in the valley. There's always a valley between two mountains. Before each mountain top experience comes a walk down below. Some can live on the mountaintop with the Lord for extended periods of times, but some of us cannot. So oftentimes, you and I reach the mountaintop. We live there. Stay with me now. Stay with me now. Stay with me now. We live there for a while, but then comes a wind of defeat or a wind of discouragement or a wind of despair and just blows us right down to the bottom of the mountain again. Some valleys are wide. Some are narrow. Some are rough ground. Some valleys are smooth ground. Most suicides occur there in the valleys. Most marriages that break up and divorce, there in the valley is where it occurs. Most Christians turn back on God there in the valley. Most of God's people lose their faith in God in the valley. And tonight, I'm addressing some of God's people who are there. You say, preacher, why are you preaching tonight? I'll tell you why I'm preaching tonight. I'm preaching tonight because God, before the foundation of the world, put it on His calendar that I preach tonight. That's why I'm preaching tonight. I'm preaching because God knew that Brother Nipshew would ask me to preach tonight on this May the 13th. I'm preaching because God said, I want some old southern boy from down there in Mississippi that's been transplanted to Kansas. I want him to go back for a little while down there. And I want him to preach that night at Clearview Baptist Church. Now, why in the world would God want me to do that? Because there's somebody or somebodies in the room tonight that need to know that in the valley of life, those dark, troublesome times where you find yourself, there's some gold, there's some diamonds, there's some precious jewels, there's some precious stones, there's some wonderful gold nuggets in that valley that God wants you to get because you bring it out, go to the mountaintop, and display what God has done in your life. We're not made on the mountaintop. We're made in the valley and displayed on the mountaintop. We're made in the valleys and displayed up there on the mountaintop. By the way, you're not made in public. You're made in private and displayed in public. You're not made in this church. This church goes a long way in making you what God wants you to be. But you're made in the private hours of your life. In those valley times of life where we all must descend to, no one wants to go to them, but everyone must go to them. By the way, there's no elevator on top of the mountain. The elevator is in the bottom. You can't go anywhere once you're on top, but you can go somewhere on the bottom. And that's where you're made. You're made there where God puts the pressure on your life and God removes the dross from your life. No one wants to go in the valley of life, but that is where God has some of His most wonderful traits and spiritual character traits to give you. So while you're there, mind your valley. While you're there, just work in it. While you're there, look for why God put you there. Well, God, why in the world did you put me here? I mean, of all the places to put me, God. I asked the preacher, could take my coat off. He said, yes, if I'd give him $10 at the church. I said, all right, I'll give you $10. I never put my coat on, always preach with it off. And while you're there in the valley, you find what God's got for you. I mean, you're going to go through it, so you might as well look for something while you're there. And there, as Webster said, in that pit, there, where the times are tough, God says there's some things I've got for your life. As Miss Anna sang a while ago, that wonderful song, that you'll find nowhere else. You're not going to get it anywhere else except you go to that mine. Now, here's our problem tonight. Our problem is this. Some of us that are in the valley and we're trying to mine that valley, what's happened is, on the old westerns, you know, where you see the old mines and you see the old cross there, mine what? Closed. Some of you tonight, you ain't digging. Amen? I meant some tonight have closed your mind off. You blocked it off. You said no entrance. And what's in there is worth going in there for. What's in the deep of the cave, the dark of the night, is worth going for. Don't close your mind off and say the mind closed. Work your mind. Take your pick. Take your shovel. Take your axe. Take your lantern. Take what miners take to the mine and continue to work, because you'll surely find great wealth in your mine in the valley. But you got to get in there. You got to dig. This church is going through some valley times. They must mine as they go through those times. You look diligently in the valley. There is spiritual gold there. There's silver there. There's wonderful things there. And God is trying to give you something in your Christian life in the valley that you cannot get anywhere else. So what do I do, preacher? You do what David Green said. You mine the valley. You mine it. You dig it. You work it. You sweat with it. You go through it. Then as his associates and his business entrepreneurs came out, they were better businessmen because they were in the valley of their life. Do you not reckon maybe that we could be better Christians if we came out of the valley? Do you not reckon maybe we could be better Christians if we'd work in the valley? And we wouldn't say, oh, God, I'm in this valley of my life. And, oh, God, I don't know what's going on. But God always does. Amen. And, oh, God, why? And God says, don't you sit there in the valley and twiddle your thumbs and just sit there like this. God says, you get your carcass up and you work. You find out why you're there. You find out what's going on. You find out what in the world. Boy, you sure are handsome. You're a handsome little boy. You find out what in the world. You better good job with that piano. You find out why in the world God wants you there, and you say, by the grace of God, I'm going to dig this valley. I'm going to dig this mine. I'm going to work this mine. I'm going to get all I can get from this mine.
Amen.
I'm getting too old to preach like this. I got some health problems. Let me tell you about it. Don't worry, Brent, I ain't going there. I believe every child of God has a valley, has a mine in the valley. And sometimes, just before, Brother David, you're about to strike it rich spiritually, you quit. You quit. You put your X up on the entrance, said, no more mining for me. I'm through mining. And God says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You can mine your valley. You say, how, preacher? I'll tell you how you mine your valley. You just get the grace of God, you keep going. That's what you do. I think tonight about old Butch over there. All Butch is doing is mining his valley. His young daughter got killed in a car wreck when I was his pastor many years ago down in Coldwater, Mississippi. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, just a couple, 3 days before Thanksgiving, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I went to the mailbox, and I got the mail out of the mailbox, Brother Corey, and I was walking back, and I got a phone call from Brother Butcher. There's been a bad wreck. I think Sandy's dead. What's he been doing? He didn't quit church. What's he doing? He's mining this valley. That's what he's been doing all that time, trying to find out more of God, more of his grace, more of his strength, more spirituality, more what God wants for him. That's what he's doing. I think about David Nichols back there. Came home many years ago and found Sam suicide, hanging in the garage. David Nichols has been mining his valley. That's what he's doing. For a long time, he's been in the mine working. For years, he's been working. For years, he's been digging and punching and digging and digging and lighting the lantern and going back in the dark cave to see what he can find that God has for him. I think about my own dear wife. She's been mining her valley for some time. She got saved, practically disowned by her family. Had nothing to do with her practically because she was a Christian. I thought she threw her life away, Brother Corey. You ain't gonna make no money doing what you're doing. Going off to Bible college. By the way, Brother Corey, years ago now, I've been married a long time, 32. When we first got married, Brother Corey, there was more heathens in our family than there were spiritual people, saved people. But now then there's more saved than there are lost. You know how that happened? By mining her valley, by staying with the stuff, by keeping her eyes and her heart set like a flint toward Jesus, toward Jerusalem, and walking on with God when they wouldn't be kind to her, maybe. They wouldn't help her out, maybe. And people would make fun of her. She kept going. And God said, keep on mining your valley, because one of these days, I got old handsome boy from Mississippi. I'm going to put him into college, and you'll meet him, and you'll find a diamond. What she got was fool's gold, amen. What kind of church don't have any tissue up here? Oh. Well, that's been used. I think about Brent Saxton. Yeah, horrible thought, isn't it? Brent Saxton has been mining his valley for several years. He's got a daddy who never calls, never gets to talk to his daddy. We picked him up on the bus many years ago. He listened to the preaching. Butch, he listened. He and Cody and Doug and Alan, I let them all preach at certain times at the church. Sad to say, he's the only one I can think of it. He's living for God now. But I got one. And I got a good one. You ain't got to say amen, but I got a good one. He's been mining his valley for several years now. He's been pushing against the tide. He's been taking his shovel and his pick and his lantern, and he's been going inside this cave of his valley of despair and discouragement and loneliness because his dad won't talk to him. But he keeps on mining his valley. He keeps on going back inside and digging. He just keeps on doing it. And look what God is bringing out of the mine that he is mining. And you're the same way. Not just the ones I mentioned tonight, but you have similar episodes and situations in your life. You didn't feel like coming to church tonight, some of you did, but you did. You don't feel like getting up tomorrow in your Bible, but you will. You know why? You're going to mine your valley. And you're going to get, by the grace of God, all that he has for you inside of that valley. I just believe that people of God ought to mine the valleys. I don't think we ought to sit there and say, oh me, woe is me. I think there's gold nuggets inside that trial. I think there's some precious jewels. I think there's some precious stones. I think there's some wonderful things of gold back in there. But you got to mine. You got a mind. You got a mind. You got a mind. You got to keep on digging. Keep on shoveling. Keep on picking. Keep on working for the glory of God. And God will give you a truckload for one day. But you got to mind your valley. You got to mind your valley. Most successful people made life-changing decisions while in the valley. Brother Corey, where did we get old Sam Jones, the great evangelist, from? We got him from the valley. That's where he came from. His daddy was a drunkard. And no, he was a drunkard. The old circuit riding Methodist preacher. His hometown, I like to go there sometimes in Cartersville, Georgia. Where'd he come from? On his daddy's deathbed. He's a drunk. On his daddy's deathbed, he promised his dad he'd quit drinking and become a Christian and live for God. And he did. And he did. Fanny Crosby, who wrote over 8,000 of the songs that we sing in our hymnals, where'd she come from? She came from the valley. That's where she came from. She came from a blind sight. She said this, I've seen more through my blindness than I ever could have seen with my sight. That's where she came from. Where Charles Haddon Spurgeon come from? The guy known among preachers as the Prince of Preachers. I'll tell you where he came from. He came from this place. His wife was an invalid most of her life. She was in bed. And Charles Haddon Spurgeon had bouts with gout and had bouts with depression. And he had to go to a place called Mentone, France, by the seaside, just to ease his depression. Valleys, valleys, valleys. That's where they come from. They come from valleys. And almost all the songs in that hymn book came from valley experiences, not mountaintop. The man he mentioned this morning, C.H. Pafford, who lost his four children from the ocean liner in the ocean. Where'd the song come from? As well, my soul, it came from the valley. And all the rest of them, practically in that songbook you hold in your hands tonight, that's where they come from. They came. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, people, that God mostly makes us in the valley. Not up there, but down here. And down here, He's got everything you need to get back up there. We've all had them. We're all going to have them. It's part of life. God has so ordained it to be so. The prodigal son. He said, I'm going to rise up out of this old valley and climb the mountain back home. What did he do? He mined his valley. And I think about Jack Howells, mined his valley. Charles Lee Robertson, mined his valley. I think about Charles Weigel, who wrote the song, No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus. You know where it came from? It came from the valley. His wife approached him one day. She said, I'll no longer be married to a preacher. It's either me or God. Charles Weigel, he chose Jesus. And God gave him, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. Just on and on and on it goes. Everywhere you look, you'll find the Christians that God uses the most are the ones that were in the deepest valley. The Bill Rice Ranch, the deaf daughter, on and on it goes. It's everywhere. Mind the valleys, mind the valleys, mind the valleys, mind the valleys. Joseph, mind the valley of confusion and distraught and mistreatment. Say with me now. He mind the valleys of where he did not understand what's going on in his life. He stayed with the stuff. And he rode out of the valley to the mountaintop, being second in charge of all the land. But why? How could he do such a thing? The way all of them in the Bible did it, they mined the valleys. Check Hebrews chapter 11, they all mined their valleys. They all dug. They all took the pick and the spade and the shovel and the lantern. They all went back there in the mine of their life, the mine valley of their life. They went back there and they said, I'll just keep on digging. I'll keep on picking. I'll just keep on shoveling. Something surely to come out of it. I wonder what God could bring out of your mind if you just mine it. I wonder what kind of nuggets are in your mind. wonder what kind of precious stones and jewels that God has waiting to be uncovered. Well, my husband left me. Well, I buried my child. Well, this. Well, that. Oh, it's common to all men. But in that valley, the one that you've got X'd off and said, keep out, mine closed, inside that one is great nuggets of gold. All you got to do is just tear the old boards off the front and start digging again. Amen. Mine the valleys. David Green, the founder of Hobby Lobby, he said, my businessmen rose to greater heights in their business because they mined their valleys. And bless God, I think if it'll work for the business world, it'll work for the Christian world. So oftentimes the business people have more character than the Christian people do. Abraham is in the valley. As he trod up to the place of sacrifice where he was told by God to offer his son Isaac up. But he came out of the valley and sat on the mountain of privilege as the only one in the Bible is being called the friend of God. What a mountaintop. In your valley of physical ailments, in your valley of emotional pain, in your valley of spiritual failure thus far, you rise up! And you say, I'm going to keep on digging. I just believe God has got something for me. And dig on, brother. Dig on, sister. And learn to let people not bother you. Amen. Ain't bothering me if you like my preaching or you don't like my preaching. Ain't bothering me if you frown or if you don't say amen. Ain't bothering me. I learned a long time ago to forget about you. I'm doing what I'm called to do. If you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't. It's between you and God. I just believe that you got to put blinders on and keep your eyes on Jesus. And your problem is this. You're still mad at that person in this church that owes you $100. And he ain't never going to pay you, so you might as well forget about it. Sister Sue's got a pretty dress on than you do. Boo-hoo. So-and-so's built better than I am. So what? So-and-so's educated. So what? I ain't educated, can you tell? Don't bother me none. As long as I walk with the educator, I ain't worried about the education. The valleys, the mining towns, the mining camps of life. I believe with all my heart that God has much to be found in the valley mines. I believe that there's so much potential that's not doing anything that needs to rise up and begin digging again in those valleys. In Enterprise, Alabama, there was a most unusual monument erected in a very prominent place in town. At the top of the monument in Enterprise, Alabama, is a large statue of a boll weevil. This person who wrote this said, he was a preacher. When I was in Enterprise for a revival meeting, I saw that monument. It struck me as a strange monument indeed to a boll weevil. And he said, I used to raise cotton and I never did feel kindly toward boll weevils. There were cotton farmers, one of his greatest fears. But then I learned the story of why they put the monument up. For years, he said, in that part of Alabama, cotton had been king, as it was throughout much of the South. Then in 1919, the boll weevil absolutely wiped out the cotton crops in the area. The farmers decided to try planting peanuts. The peanut crop grew well in that soil there in Alabama. They received a good price for their crop, and so year after year, peanuts became the main crop. That county became known as the peanut capital of the world. So the people erected that monument, which contains the following inscription.
in profound appreciation of the Bougival and what he has done as the herald of prosperity. This monument is erected by the citizens of Enterprise, Coffee County, Alabama. Who would have ever thought that God would have used an ugly, pesky old Bougival to bring about a blessing?
Depends on how you look at it, I guess. The Holy Spirit has great things up ahead. Load up your wagon in the valley. Where do men like D.L. Moody come from? Valleys. Where in the world do women like Hannah come from? Valleys. Where do men like Lester Roloff come from? Valleys. Where do women like Ruth come from? Valleys. What are Adoniram Judsons and David Brainerds and Jonathan Goforts and William Careys and David Livingston and all the heroes of faith? Where do they come from? They come from the valleys. They come from the valleys. They come from the stinking valley. They come from the dark dungeon of the mind to where nobody wants to tread. They come from where fear abides. They come from where danger lures. But they get the grace and the power and the strength of God, and they march on. Back in the mind they go to get what God has for them. All of us have valleys, those places where our heart is wringed out, our souls are overwhelmed, our spirits are barren, our understanding is blackened. It's there, though. It's there. In the valley where God says, look around. Dig. Persevere. There's something here. God says, that is nowhere else but here. There's so many nuggets of gold around where you are. You mine, you sweat, you look, you dig, you work. You ask the Holy Spirit of God to show you where the rare finds are. And He's faithful to show you. In His time, you know, they don't strike it gold the first time. They don't find the nuggets the first time. When you get up to the mountain, God says, I have some people down there that I want you to talk to. A small boy invited his younger sister to go with him on a hike up a mountain path. As they made their way along the path, she began to complain about the big rocks they had to go over. She said, brother, this isn't much of a path. It has all these big bumps in it. He said, little sister, you don't understand. The bumps are what you climb on. He said more than he knew when he described what he describes as actually a parable of life. Many times it's the bumps, the rough places of life that bring us the hurts, the heartaches, the tragedies that serve as our best opportunities to climb out and get to the mountain. Why don't you decide tonight that you're going to go out and dig in your valley? I read the story. There's an old fisherman who was very successful in fishing. Every morning he went out in the lake with a small boat. He returned a couple hours later. His boat was loaded down with fish. Never failed. Always had a boatload. People wondered how he did it. Even when others were not catching anything at all, he always came in with his boat just overflowing with fish. One morning a stranger showed up with his fishing tackle and said, mind if I go fishing with you this morning? Oh, no, said the fisherman. You can go. Just hop in, we'll go over to a little cove where I always do good. The man hopped in the boat and off they headed across the lake until they came to a small cove. The old fisherman stopped the boat, cut off the motor, reached over in his tackle box, and took out a red stick of dynamite. He lit the fuse and held it for a moment as the fuse burned down. Then at the last moment, he tossed it into the water and there was a tremendous explosion. Fish were everywhere in the water. Picked up his net, began scooping up the fish. After watching this episode for a moment, the stranger reached in his pocket and pulled out his wallet. Opening it up, he showed a badge and said, I'm a game warden. You're under arrest. The old fisherman simply reached over to his box, pulled out another stick of dynamite. He lit it. He held it as the fuse burned down. Then he tossed it to the game warden and said, now you're going to just sit there or you're going to fish? There comes a time in life when we all have to decide who we're going to be and what we're going to do. Someone rightly said this, sorrows are our best educators. Someone said a man can sometimes see farther through a tear than through a telescope. C.S. Lewis said this, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse the deaf world. All of us know people who, because they responded positively in the valley, learned some lesson that made them a blessing on the mountaintop. Mind the valley, mind the valley, mind the valley, mind the valley, mind the valley. Get all you can get from the valley. There's spiritual gold in there. There's silver in there. There's precious metal in there. There's stones in there. You husband and wives need to mind your valley. Your wife, sir, need you to mind your valley. Your kids, mom and dad, need you to mind the valley. Your loved ones, your family need you to mind the valley. The co-workers, the friendly, the neighbors that you work, that you live by need you to mind the valley. They're all watching the valley to see what you are. You're going to be made to come alive and allow God to grow you so He can display you on the mountaintop. C.H. Spurgeon used his valley. Fanny Crosby used hers. I read where the pages of history are lined with individuals as encountering negative setbacks only to make something positive out of them. You're wondering how many pages I'm going to turn. This is my last one. They are better for it. In many cases, Thomas Edison as a boy received a blow on his ear which impaired his hearing. What a tragedy. Later, he felt his deafness was a blessing because it was a tool by which he was saved from distractions as he invented things. It allowed him to concentrate on his work, and out of that concentration emerged some of the greatest inventions that we know. Victor Hugo, literary genius of France, was exiled from his country by Napoleon. What a tragedy! Out of that profound of exile arose some of his most creative works. When he later returned home in triumph, he asked, "Why was I not exiled earlier?" Helen Keller, born blind and deaf, faced obstacle after obstacle in her life. However, more than on one occasion, she confided, "I thank God for my obstacles, for through them I found myself, my work, and my God." I'm just saying, mind the valleys, mind the valleys, mind the valleys. God said, "I'll pour water upon him who is thirsty." David said, "As the heart panteth after water brook, so panteth my heart after thee, O God." The prodigal said, "I will arise and go to my father." Job said, "Where is God, my maker, who giveth songs in the night?" Get you a song in the valley. Ruth said to Naomi, "Thy God be my God." Let God be your God in the valley. Joseph said to his brothers, "You thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good." See the good that God has put there in the valley. Mordecai told Esther, "Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" In the valley, realize God's got you there for a purpose. And take your pick, get your shovel, get your lantern, and you go back to the mine. And you get back to work because there's some wonderful, wonderful things waiting on you. But you got to work. And God will give you what you need to work. Just mind your valleys. David Green, the most successful, very successful Hobby Lobby founder, he said, "These associates of mine, they learned to mine their valleys. And look how successful they are now. Wonder what I could do if I mined my valley. Wonder what you could do if you mined your valley. Wonder what's in there. Tear your sign off that says, 'Mine closed. Do not enter,' and say, 'Holy Spirit, you have the freedom. You have the freedom to enter my mind. And I want you to show me what you have for me.'" Father, thank you for loving us this evening. Thank you for your goodness to our lives. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful, beautiful song that Anna sang. That, Lord, just says it like it is. Thank you for the dear people. Shall we stand? Thank you for the attentiveness tonight. I just kind of feel like, Lord, if I got to mind my valleys, and I am, and I do, by the grace of God, I just believe there's a husband, there's a wife. I just believe there's a teenager. I just believe there's a grandma and grandpa that's having a tough time in the valley. They got to mind it. As they began to play and sing right now, would you get back to the mine?
Would you tear your old paneling, close your sight off?